kind of, I suppose, as I hear it and I listen to the words, and we'll be singing it a little bit later, it really brings out the scripture. And there's two scriptures, in fact, that really come to mind when I start looking at this song. And first one is Isaiah 7:14. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And Isaiah 9:6. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. As I started looking into this song a little bit more, I kind of got my geek on a little bit, and I realized all these dates are approximate, so don't quote me per se, but this song dates back to the year 800, around there. That's an old song. You know, that's a really old song, and it represents an important and ancient series of services celebrated by the church. Originally, each verse with its own separate chorus, and there's seven of them. And for 7 days before Christmas, each stanza was chanted or sung or hummed in its own way, and it was sung in Latin, and it was sung or chanted a cappella. Each chorus emphasized a different Old Testament prophecy of the coming Messiah, of Jesus, which was fulfilled at the birth of Jesus. It wasn't until 1,000 years later, approximately 1850, that the choruses were put together and the present day music was put to it, and it was added a chorus and then it was distributed. It's a pretty neat song. It's a pretty ancient carol, and I think that we could learn a lot from it. And there's some neat things. The first stanza emphasizes the person of the Messiah. It refers to Isaiah 7:14. Emmanuel, God with us. Christmas is nothing short of the most historic day in human history. No matter what secular history teaches you, the birth of Jesus changed things. It changed things. God became flesh and dwelt among us. It is a cornerstone of the Christian faith. We believe in the incarnate Christ here at the Morningside Church of Christ. We believe that the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, is about Jesus. Our songs are about Jesus. Our classes are about Jesus. We want to get to know Jesus in order that we can share Jesus with other people. Emmanuel, God with us. The Bible teaches us clearly that in the book of John, the apostle says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The book of Hebrews says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being. His humanity was essential, because without His humanity, He could not come and live and die as a perfect sacrifice, never committing a sin, to die for those who were sinful. Hebrews 2:16-18 says, for surely it is not angels He helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this, He had to be made like His brothers in every way, in order that He might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, that He might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because He Himself suffered when He was tempted, He was able to help those who are being tempted. Indeed, our Christmas carol tonight begins with declaring Christ to be nothing less than the Redeemer sent by God. Jesus is worthy of the name Emmanuel, God with us, and He's worthy to be celebrated in this song. Stanza 2, O come thou wisdom from on high. Isaiah 9:6 foretells the various offices which will be held by the Messiah, and among them was Wonderful Counselor. Through Scripture, wisdom is clearly linked to God. Genuine wisdom finds its roots in God and in God's words. In fact, in the Old Testament, wisdom became personified. It was understood as a constant companion of God. Texts like Proverbs 8, 22 through 31 gave us this idea. But it was Jesus that the true wisdom of God became embodied in the incarnate baby born in the manger. 1 Corinthians 1:24 says, "But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God." John 1:1 says, "Jesus was in the beginning." Proverbs 8:22 and 23, "Wisdom was in the beginning." John 1:1 again, "Jesus was with God." Proverbs 8:30, "Wisdom was with God." Again, John 1, "Jesus was the co-creator." Proverbs 3, Proverbs 8, Isaiah 7, Isaiah 9, "Wisdom was the co-creator." Wisdom is from God. And Jesus is fully the wisdom of God. And he is worthy to be celebrated in song. Stanza 3 talks about the rod of Jesse, which refers to Isaiah 11:1. And Isaiah's writings predict a time when things will look hopeless. The axe will have been applied to the tree called Israel, and only a stump will remain. World powers and world religions will all have been but consumed, this small nation of Israel, and its hope of a ruler and redeemer will nearly be forgotten. But beneath the stump, underneath the earth, there are living roots. What all seems lost, a single green stem will emerge out of the dirt. It will appear insignificant. But over time it grows, it becomes strong, it becomes mature, and it becomes a force to be reckoned with. This is another way of telling the story of Jesus. What God has promised, God will do. In fact, when things look most bleak and most hopeless, don't give up, because there's a light that shines in the darkness. Jesus Christ deserves the reference rod of Jesse and is worthy to be celebrated tonight. Stanza 4, "O come thou day spring, come and cheer," refers to Luke 1:78. Zacharias, the priest, says, "The day spring from on high has visited us." More literal translation suggests that God has visited us as the sun rises from the heaven. In another Old Testament prophecy, it says that people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them the light has shined, Isaiah 9:2. Light and darkness are common metaphors used throughout Scripture for God's salvation. Zacharias is rejoicing because he has broken through the blinding darkness with the radiance of the morning sun. Let me tell you, if you've ever been in the dark, and we were a little bit ago, light changes everything. It makes the world look different. It's easier to navigate when there is light. Light changes everything. Jesus changes everything. Jesus, when he arrived, illuminated the way to God. He even said so. He said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." Jesus Christ is indeed the light of the world. He's worthy to be celebrated in song and worship tonight. Verse 5. This stanza refers, verse 5, "O come, thou key of David, come." That one threw me a little bit. What does that mean? Well, this stanza refers to more of Isaiah's prophecies. Verse 22 says, the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. And also, again, Isaiah 9:6 says the government shall be upon his shoulders. The powers of the keys were a significant role in the monarchy, is nonetheless true in the kingdom of God. Giving the keys to the government or the house of David tells us that that person had the right to supervise the realm. He was in control. The key holder had the authority to determine who does and who does not come in to the presence of the king. Jesus, the infant prince of Isaiah 9, is the ruler of God's kingdom. The Bible speaks of the prophecy's fulfillment when it says, "But the Son," he says, "your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. You will have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions." Hebrews 1. His rule is just and his rule is gracious. And we are his recipients of his righteous reign. Jesus Christ is qualified to rule the kingdom. He is God's son and he is worthy to be celebrated in song. Stanza 6. O come, great Lord of might. Isaiah 9:6 was a very prominent passage about the Messiah. It has many descriptive phrases about him. I'm going to read it one more time. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Our God is a mighty God. He sits at the right hand of the Father, and his enemies have been made his footstool. He has conquered the hostile enemy that has held us captive. He has set us free. Sin no longer has hold on us. Death no longer has hold on us. Romans 8:2. Jesus can break the chains that hold you captive. No matter what you've done, no matter what you will do, or no matter what you are currently doing, Jesus can break the chains. And he deserves to be called a mighty God. Deserves to be celebrated in this song. Verse 7. "O come, desires of nation, bind." Move over to the Old Testament book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 7, and it says, "I will shake all nations, and all desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. We speak of peace on earth and goodwill to men. All nations claim it. Everybody wants it, and we'll even go war to find it. Peace. But peace will never be found through human efforts. It only comes from the supernatural. Supernatural only comes from the one who has created peace. Jesus. He has given us peace through giving us light, through conquering death, and through taking away the sins that bind us and hold us. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And he's worthy to be celebrated. So what do you need this Christmas? We've been talking about gifts for a couple weeks. What do you need this Christmas? It's not something that you could wrap up in a nice package and put it under a tree. No, it was something that we celebrate tonight. The birth of a baby in a manger. Something that was unexpected. Something that there was a scandal around. It didn't even look that significant. That baby boy grew into the man, Jesus. Lived a perfect life. Died for us. 3 days later, the work of God and the Holy Spirit, he was resurrected. The tomb was empty. After 40 days, he ascended, saying, "I go to prepare a place for you, but I'm sending my Spirit to guide you, to comfort you. Follow him." I like this song. It reminds me of my Lord. It reminds me of my Master. You see, what we need for Christmas this year is a closer relationship. It starts in Scripture. It comes to church. It fellowships as a family. Jesus is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. And He needs to be celebrated in all of our songs, in all of our services, and in all of our lives. He can meet the deep need of our souls. He can fix the world. As we prepare for communion today, we can do so with our hearts filled with confidence that what happened in a room represents what happened on a tree. And tonight we invite you. We'll sing a song. After that song, there'll be some other music. And when you feel comfortable, we invite you to come forward with your family, take communion, filter back around, and find your seats. And focus on the person and the work of Jesus. Draw close. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you for old songs. That these songs can just inspire us to look deep into what inspired the song. We thank you for your Son, leaving perfection as a great missionary to come to this world, the ministry of reconciliation, and to take it to the utmost point of dying in our place and setting us free from what holds us back from you, which is our sin. Tonight we worship you for that, and we celebrate that. Because we know what happened in a manger one night will soon change the world forever. Father, tonight I ask you to break our hearts and put them back together. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing.